just fuzzies everywhere. Oh no, they're in my tea. Hi everybody. It's me again, Kat. We are back this week for the last installment of Starlight, Chapter 9 by Sacrifice Them to the Squid. If you haven't already, link is in the description to go and look at that work, along with going and looking at the rest of her stuff. I don't know if I'm going to have another episode out this week or not, as it's kind of just gotten crazy with Halloween only 2 weeks away, and I've got some costumes to finish up, but that's either here nor there or anywhere. So, let's get on with the podcast. Here we go. Starlight, Chapter 9, by Sacrifice Them to the Squid. When this war is over, when Tariel finds him and saves him, perhaps Keeley will take her in. Perhaps it might work. She cannot be hidden in caverns of stone. She loves the sky too much for that. Keeley would understand. They would go out into the clear night and count the infinite points of precious light. Every one would represent a year she has given up to future pain. But in that moment, her heart would be so full of joy the universe would yawn open, unbound and unbroken. She'd take him to lie in the summer grass at the edge of the forest. She would kiss him first, soft and sweet, until he laughed and greedily pulled her down into his arms. The air would be cool and clean against their skin, a counterpoint to the melody of heat they create together. Song and breath, breath and crescendo, until they shudder together in the perfect, true union of souls. Gilead. She, who loves the stars above all else, would be with the star she loves best. If Tariel can find Keeley, she can warn him. Outside the city of Dale, there are fewer elves and more dwarves locked in combat with the orcs. The battle seems trivial. The dwarves are holding their own. Beyond carving her way through the chaos, she doesn't think of stopping. Distantly, she realizes that she's doing exactly what Thranduil has done. Fire and blood surround her, and yet she cannot focus on anything but a singular, selfish goal. She isn't Thranduil. He withdrew his love. She embraces it. Her desire isn't for a handful of cold, unfeeling gems. It's for a man, warm and alive. Someone who promised to return to her and said her name like she was something rare and precious. The runestone thumps in her pocket as she moves through the battle, a sensation against her chest like a second heartbeat. She has lost her bow. Her bow was broken. But she has her blades and they flash like stars, great trails of black orc blood spinning away in their wake. Tariel and Legolas are making their way across a crumbling causeway below Raven Hill when a shadow-like smoke boils out of the frigid haze. Half a heartbeat later, the noise erupts, a wave of animal screams like pigs at slaughter. The bats. They've arrived. They flow down to the battlefield below, diving like hawks on prey. She can't consider that she's too late, but the hellish vanguard is irrefutable. She doesn't know where she's going. She only knows that she has to go up. As she tries to discern the quickest route, she catches a single glimpse of Keeley on the high tower, his armor glinting golden and regal in the blowing snow and fog. Starlight. Her brain goes blank, her body launching forward on its own accord. At the end of the causeway, what's left of the watchtower heaves up in fallen walls and broken stairs. She throws herself at the path, bloodying hands and knees and shins in her ascent. Any sense of pain is cast aside as unnecessary. On the upper stories, the tower condenses into a tight warren of collapsed halls and shaky battlements. The wind is a physical force, an icy shriek that sears on its violent path through the ruins. The sounds of battle filter through, war cries and the crush of steel on steel. Keeley is somewhere above. Tariel screams out his name, but her voice is lost in the wind. Once, she hears his voice in an echo, and with a thundering heart, she thinks maybe, just maybe, she's found him. She skids around a corner right into a pack of orcs. Their brief moment of confusion is their undoing. She twists through them easily, letting her blades carry her through the dance she knows best. She calls again, and this time, He answers loud and clear. She knows where he is, but she still has to get to him. This far up, the tower grows increasingly unsteady, each stone feeling like a single misstep will send everything careening down into the crags below. Down another hallway, she tumbles into another orc pack. Wishing for arrows, Tariel launches herself into the fray. These are no mere goblins. They are true-born orcs, each triple her size and full of brute fury. Every strike has to count, every movement precise. There is no room for error, no space for breath or weakness. It's not a mistake that fails her. The orc called Bolg, the commander of this army, the hated enemy, materializes out of the shadows, reaching out with shocking speed. She crashes into a flight of stone steps, ribs snapping from the impact and sharp staccato pain. Starlight. Gritting her teeth, she forces a deep inhale and crawls into the back of her own mind as she throws herself forward. Slash, duck, slide, swivel. Dark ribbons of flesh unfurl like vines, curling over and across the orc's chest and arms. Her blades catch against armor and send out sparks. He manages to snag one of her arms, violently dislocating her shoulder. Before she can react, one massive hand crushes her windpipe. Darkness surges into her vision, but Keely. If Bolg is here, that means the army has already arrived. If Keely doesn't know, he will soon. She's homeless, an orphan, all semblance of belonging and comfort savagely ripped away. This is Erebor. If Keely has a chance of a home of his own, she will do whatever it takes to get him there. Rallying, she aims a kick at Bolg's groin, using the momentum to twist away. All the time she's thought she's angry, at the world, at the dragon, at Thranduil, have been eclipsed with a fury so great her body becomes a conduit, rage narrowing her focus to only what's at the edge of her blades. She is a being of righteous love, incandescent and terrible. Perhaps that's what kills her. If she were clear-headed, she might have understood this was not an opponent she could best. No matter how clever or agile, she can't escape his meaty hold on skill alone. She would have felt limbs going bloodless. She might have held back her fury, and she would not have thrown herself at him with nothing but bared teeth and the promise of an uncertain future. Abruptly, she blinks against darkness and sees only but pebbles and dirty snow. She coughs and tastes blood instead of air. Somewhere above the ringing in her ears, she hears Keely roar and then the clang of steel on steel as sword hits armor. She isn't sure the fight is going well. Bolg is a mountain of cruelty made flesh. Keely is favoring a leg and bleeding from a blow to the forehead. If she had arrows, she could end this right now. Instead, she has two daggers and two arms that almost obey. Bolg has two eyes. She throws, hoping beyond hope they find their targets. A great roar of bloodlust explodes into pain like a pierced bellows. Bolg slumps forward, giving Keely enough time to wrench himself free. Through a sparkling haze, she sees him hit and hit again, and again, and again, and again. Bolg's head rolls from his shoulders and his body crashes down upon the ground like a felled tree. Keely dives after the head and slashes again and again, sparks against stone, and then he turns his pommel to the pulp with feral force and howls. The next thing Tariel knows, he's throwing himself down beside her and bundling her up in his arms. "Not you," he chokes out. "Not you. Not you too." She forces her eyelids open, willing her eyes to focus, but failing. He makes a noise like a wounded hart and gently sets her back down. "You live?" he says hoarsely. He takes her head in his hands, peering into her eyes. "Tariel, look at me. Look at me." She means to say something, but her mouth isn't working, and what comes out is a garbled cough. Keely looks around wildly. "You cannot stay here. Can you walk?" She means to try, but everything swims, and she finds herself pleasantly tucked against Keely's chest. "You'll be fine," he says, his voice cracking. "You'll be fine." He's warm. She can smell his sweat, and for one long moment, she lets her eyes close and just breathes in the beloved scent of him. This is everything she's wanted. She's ransomed her entire being for this single, perfect moment in his arms. "Tariel," he says, and he's stripping his gloves off to put his bare hands on her face. His skin is warm, like the runestone she'd once held in her hand. She still has the runestone. She wonders if she can reach it. Amralame, please, please. I don't know what that means, she breathes. His hands are shaking. His voice is shaking. Tears stream down his face. It means you are my love, Tariel. Stay with me. Please, stay with me. Keelith, she says. That is your name. Keely, yes. I'm Keely. Keelith, she says again, sharpening the consonants. Starlight. You are my starlight. There's a moment of absolute silence, and then he chokes out. Am I losing you? She can't lie, so instead she forces her eyes toward the ridge. Azog is there. Your uncle needs you. His eyes dart up and then back to hers, and his hands on her face tighten. If I leave, she's dying. She knows that now. There's a crackle in her lungs, a creeping coldness in her chest, a body that she can no longer feel, legs that are no longer her own. Somehow, the runestone is in her hand, and she presses it against his chest. Here is my promise. He stares at her, and then his lips are on hers. Her kin deride the greed of the dwarves, but she suddenly understands. A wild, desperate starvation that cannot be controlled and cannot be contained. As he curls over her in the snow, she is greedy for another word, another breath, anything, anything she can take and hoard in her heart. This should not be the first time she kisses him, and more than that, it should not be the last. Dwarves are mortal, but she wanted those centuries. Keep it, he says desperately. Tariel, I... Amralame, she says, and the word is perfect in her mouth, soft and round, soft as the lovers they will never be. Your uncle needs you. I need you, he chokes out. Feely is dead. Feely is dead. Feely is dead. The words are their own fierce rush, and he buries his face in her shoulder and screams. All she can do is pull his head close, sinking her fingers into the damp and matted mess of his hair. I cannot lose you, he chokes out. I cannot lose you too. And then he's kissing her again, lips, forehead, chin, cheeks, all feverish and fierce. Tell me what to do. You saved me. Tell me how. Down the hall, she can hear the skitter of goblin feet. Give me my blades. No. Go to your uncle. I will hold them off. Keely follows his kin without question. If he is reckless, it's only out of love. She sees the war on his face, the desperation and fear, the fury and conviction. Once, Keely had grinned up at Tariel with impish pride. Later, he had held her eyes with a tenderness she didn't think was possible. Now, he's curled around her with his forehead pressed against hers, his whole body heaving with sobs that he's trying desperately to hold back. Keelith, give me my blades. Keely does, but at the last moment, pulls them back. I will see you again. His face. A handful of days ago, she didn't know he existed, and now, his face is dearer to her than her own heartbeat. Thranduil said this wasn't real, but he was wrong. Yes, she says. It's a lie, and he knows it. She can see it in his face, but his uncle needs him and he has to go. I will find you, he says hoarsely. I will. Amralame, she says. He closes his eyes and kisses her forehead, then gives her one last long, deep kiss before rising to his feet. Go, she says. You must. His eyes spill over, tears cutting trails through the blood and grime on his face. He swallows, glances toward the sky, and then back at her. Taking a deep, shaky breath, he hefts his sword and charges back up the stairs. Behind the skittering goblins, there's a deeper rumble, the unmistakable stagger of a troll. This is her last kill. She has to make it count. Starlight. Tariel will not face long centuries of grief. She will savor these last few moments with the joyous taste of him in her mouth and the deep, precious scent of him in her throat. When the troll is close, she summons everything she has left and throws. Her daggers go deep into its brain. It slams into the ground. The walls are already weak with age and weather. It takes nothing for them to crumble, and nothing for her to crumble along with them. There's a silence between heartbeats. The blood still flows, pushed and tugged to its next destination, but there is quiet, a rest, a counterpoint to the messy cacophony of living tissue. The silence becomes a misstep, a stumble in cadence, an absence like water as it disappears into a deep moss. Relief comes, soft wind through spring blossoms, and beneath it, like a slowly moving stream, a calm born of fulfilled purpose. There are two breaths even the immortals hold secret. There was the first, and this is the last. Holy crap, you guys. What an ending to that story. Like I said, if you want to read more of Squid's work, you can find the links in the description to this fic, which will lead you to other fics of hers. I really suggest that you go and read this story for yourselves and then go and read more of her stuff. Well, that's the end of this episode. I hope you all have a good day, a good evening, a good afternoon. Wherever you are at, I hope it is good. And until next time, see you later.